Okay, so we last left off on Hakdamat HaZayin. We spoke about the Shem Yichud Kutjibir Cheshchente. In Hakdamat HaZayin, we're going to be speaking about Yiridas HaShafa La'olam HaZeh. We're going to be looking at the Sfiros, which we've been discussing, and the relationship between the Sfiros, as how when Shafa becomes transmitted Milamala Lamata, so there's a Seder. There's a seder on how the shefa travels. And b'derech klal, there are no exceptions to this rule. That the relationship with the spheres is such is that they abide by a certain law, and that there's no skipping. That when the shefa comes from a higher place to a lower place, so one sphere will give to the next sphere. And they hand off to each other. And we're going to be describing that here, and its relationship to Shabbos, and the whole concept of Yiridas HaShefa. So let's begin. B'pirka kadmo nizbarad aydei maisa ha-mitzvahis nigrom lamala liyas aylamis. We spoke in the previous parak, I forget already, that through the mitzvahs which we do, it creates a hisairus. The mitzvahs which we do, we awaken the higher aylamis. He points out, and it causes what's called an aliyas ha'ilamas. The ha'ilamas should ascend, they should go higher. We'll get back to that. And that causes the shefa to come down. So just to explain this, I forget already what we did before. But just to explain a little bit this Yisaridus Milamata, that we have the privilege as Klai Yisraelim being in this world, which is the lowest of all worlds, the Olam Ha'asiya, the Tachtis Olam Ha'asiya, and that because we are at the very bottom of everything, so we are the destination over all the Shefa is meant to go to, and yet also from the perspective of bottom up, we are the beginning of every hisaidrus. Now what does that mean? Every sphira, or every partsuf, is considered to be a child of the partsuf above it. With that being said, when a child does something very sweet, and it finds chen in his father's eyes, so it gives the father a hisaidrus to want to be mative to his child. He gives his father nachas. The child doesn't really have anything special to give to the father other than the nachas. He doesn't have to do him mamash a toiva and a chesed and to say, here, this is for you. If the father has a nachas from his child, and the ikar nachas is that the father sees that the child is doing the ratzon of the father, and that could be just by walking in his ways, which is, of course, the ikar nachas. So the child is doing something for the father, and that gives a father a ratzon to want to do something for his child. So that's what we mean when we speak about it in a sarusa de la tata, that there's an awakening from below. It's not just like a chok, that there's an awakening from below. It's like you pull a certain throttle and then things start to happen. There's a relationship, and it's very important to understand that when we speak about pnimius is all about relationship. It's not about chukim, it's not about skulos. It's not about something which is abstract and can't be explained. The reason why Pnimius explains is because Pnimius is trying to explain the relationship the Ribbono Shel Olam has with his world. And that these relationships that we have in our lives are mishalim to understand Pnimius HaTorah, the Hainu, that things start to make sense when we start to understand them in a very real way, not in an abstract way. So therefore, there's what's called the Ha'olos Man. I think we spoke about that term Mayim Nukvin in a Sarusa de la Tata, which takes place, that the child gives nachas to his father, and the father therefore wants to reciprocate and to give back. So therefore, what awakens that giving from the father is the nachas that the child does and brings to the father. The tachlis of every giving that the father gives to the child, and the greatest chesed that the father can do to the child is to elevate the child to his madrega, is to make him like him. And that's really the ikar nachas that the father has from the child, is that, like we said before, that he sees that the child is walking in his ways, that he's emulating the father. Every father wants that his child should emulate him. We run into problems in chinuch when the father identifies himself as a baseball player and the child doesn't want to be a baseball player. He wants to be something else. So it creates a conflict, and the father doesn't see that as a nachas because his image of himself is that I am this. I am a lawyer. And if my son's not going to be a lawyer, then he's not walking in my ways. But of course, that's all a chitzonius. But because the father is in the world of chitzonius, and he doesn't understand that the child is emulating the father in a way that he's trying to become his own greatness, like he sees his father as being great. But as soon as the father slips into that world of chitzonius, and therefore he doesn't allow the child to be malaman, doesn't allow the child to give him in a serusa delatata, so then there's no shefa anymore. Then the child is cut off from the father because he's not giving him any nachas. But what the father wants, and what's misoired, the giving of the father to the child, is that he sees that in some way the child is emulating the father. But if the father has a corrupted way of understanding dimyon, of how the child is trying to be like the father, so the father's not going to give anything to the child, and he won't bring the child up to his darga. So we have an idea here of, and again, he's only talking about these ideas as we're passing by. We may have spoken about them earlier more at length, but it's just kedai to speak about them again because we're going to be speaking about giving shefa. It's kedai to understand where it begins. That the child is trying to emulate the father, and the father sees the child trying to emulate him. Of course, on his level, every child is not actually emulating the father on the father's level. But if the child appears in the father's eyes, that the child is doing nachas to the father, that he wants to do the ratzon of his father, so in primius, if he sees signs of that, then he's already connected to the tachlis of being like me. That's ma'ayra ratzon for the father to give to the child. And the greatest nachas that the father has is when the child comes up to the level of his father, and that's what the father wants. He wants to provide to his child in a way that he'll continue to emulate him. So, with that being said, we're speaking about Yiridas HaShefa, the father's giving to the child, and also that the tachlis of that is that to elevate the one below to become higher. Like a chain. Right? That all the oilim is to interact with each other like a chain. Like the Ramchal explains that when there's a chain, it doesn't matter how long the chain is, if you wiggle it, if you shake it from below, it's going to go all the way up to the top. That's for sure. That's just the chok. So therefore, every interaction, every mitzvah which we do, when we do it in a way of mesiras nefesh, that we want to do the ratzon of our father, so you see in the actual kavanas of the bracha, as it's brought down from the Arizal, that when we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, what we do is that we have a kavanah of mesiras nefesh, and we take the shviras hakelim, the rapach nitzaitzim, which he spoke about at length, in this world, and we send it all the way up to the highest olamos. Why? Because what we do is that there's a chain reaction, that we give nachas to the parts of above us, and then that part of gives nachas to the one above it. I mean, each one is giving to the one on top until it goes all the way to the top, and then new shefa comes down. From all these worlds of tzilus, b'yitzi, and asira, yesh b'gimel madregas b'zeh, because they each have their own three madregas, and we spoke about this at length, how the spheres divide into different ways. So the most classic way is chabad chagat inai. And just to review, chachma bina das, chesed b'rati feras netzachod in yisov, over rosh ha-chabad, nimta sefiras ha-keser. So keser stands alone at the top, and tachas nai nimta sefiras ha-malchus. And below the nai stands malchus. Acha malchus sheba elam ha-elyon, achuz ma'ucha nima keser sheba elam shalamata himenu. Now this is a very important rule which we haven't discussed yet, and that is, although we discuss these 10 spheros, and we group them together in a way where the malchus is at the bottom of the sphera of the oilam which we're speaking about, whatever it is, nevertheless, the malchus in the higher world is connected with the keser in the world below it. Ule dogma, malchus da atzilas, the malchus of atzilas, is achus bekeser de bria, is connected to the keser of the world below it, which is bria. And so too, malchus de bria is connected with the keser de tzira. V'chein kulam. Why does Hashem do this? Ki kol echan achaz b'chavre, by having each sphira, the lower one, to the one below's higher one, connected with each other, zeso na'ot seifa l'schilaso. This creates a certain symmetry and achdus between all the olamos. They all don't just stand alone anymore. There's one flow which resonates throughout all the olamos. Amlan oyne chazan ashalish atachdain to olam ha'olyon b'shlish ha'olyon to olam atachdain. So too, it's not just that the malchus is connected to the keser, but so too the nayi of the world above is connected to the chabad of the world below. Ki ha'sfiros him dugmas kelim she'echa munach b'chaveirai. A mashal to that is that the higher spheros, when they come down to the lower ones, into the lower world, it's as if we're placing them inside of them. That's considered to be what we call a hislabshus. That the lower kelim, they become garments to the higher kelim. Well, the dogma, nahi datzilas achz b'chabad debriya. So as an example, so the nahi of atzilas is connected to the chabad of bria. And the nahi of bria is connected to the chabad of yitzira, v'chein kula. This is a very important musag. A very important musag, and it has a lot to do with many inyanim in Pnimei Satayra, and that this idea that the malchus goes down into the worlds below. For example, one of the musagim that this is connected to is the secret, which perhaps you're familiar with, which is connected to Rosh Hashanah. Maybe we'll speak about it the Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah. The idea of the Miyot HaLavana. The Miyot HaLavana. That we know that by Maisa Bereishis, so both the Shemesh and the Reach came before the Bnei Shlomo and said, hey, it's not working out. We can't have two kings wearing one crown. So Hashem said to the Levanas, okay, so go ahead and be Mamai yourself. So we know already, we've spoken about this, that the Shemesh and the Areach, they are a dugma to the Sphiros of Tiferes and Malchus. Hey, we're jogging our memory a little bit. The Tiferes and Malchus correspond to the Shemesh and the Areach. If that's the case, that the Areach corresponds to the Malchus, and Hashem says to the Areach, go down. In essence, what that means in Pnimius is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling the Malchus of every Olam, go down to the Olam below you. Welcome. Go down to the Olam below you. That's the Pnimius of the Sinyan. But what's the Toelis in that? It creates an Achdus between all the Olamos. That now that the Malchus is going down to the Keser below, so now there's a Shiluv between all the Olamos. Now there's an Achdus between all the Olamos. Ubishabis Kaidash Shuhis Ace Ratan Zman Shal Aliyah Sa Ilamas Azmis Ale Kol Shlish Bemaila Echad Yeser Me Masachal. Okay, so now before we go into this, because Lanias Daiti, there's like a step which is being jumped here. What we do every single day in the course of davening is that we don't want the Malchus to be in the lower world. It serves a purpose in connecting all the Ilamas, but what we want ideally is that we want the Malchus to come back up. Yeah? The Malchus should come back up. But when she does that, she should also bring the head of the world below into the bottom of the higher world. Understand what's going on here? There's two ways to make connections. One is that the bottom world should go into, meaning the higher world should go down to the lower world. Or, what way we can make a connection is to take the lower world and to shtup it up to the higher world. Everything goes up together, yeah. So we only see, I mean, what the most pivotal, most important part of that movement forward is that the change of worlds, meaning that I'm taking a step from the world below into the higher world. That's where it's most nicker, and that's most important because that's the place where this fusion is taking place. But in Achanam, you're absolutely right, that when one sphere goes up, if the keser, or if the chabad is moving up into the world of the nahi, of the world above it, everything is following below. And even so, even that which is above that, they're all going up as well. Because they push each other. Yeah, that's part of that chain reaction which we spoke about.
Is that a chesed that Hashem did? The smallest action in our world.
Yeah.
It runs all the way up to the top.
Absolutely. It's a tremendous chesed for Hashem Yisbarach did, in that he took the malchus, that he set it up in a way that the malchus went down first, and then once the malchus went down first, and then we malo the malchus, so then what that did is that created a hisairus, that now the lower world will now go up to the higher world. You find this in again, everything is just a mushel. It's so funny to us because we're using now this pnimius concept as a mushel for things that go on in our world, right? Because we have to learn in our world how to serve Hashem. But really, what we're about to explain is this mushel is just a mushel to understanding the spheres, which is really the nimshel. Okay? What happens is that, let's say a Rebbe wants to, or a mother wants to interact with her children. She wants to be mechazik her children. Right? Really, which is really what the malchus represents. It's a certain element of the nekeva, which is best represented by a nekeva. But in this dogma, the fact that one oilam is going down to the next oilam represents, let's say, a Rebbe and a Talmud. The Rebbe wants to be ma'ir his Talmud, right? So what does the Rebbe do? He'll go down to the Talmud. He'll go down to the madrig of the Talmud. That could be that he'll give him a shir in a way that's very, it's very far from where the Rebbe is holding, because the Rebbe can speak in much greater things in his own limudim. But he goes down to the darg of the Talmud, and he gives the Talmud a taste, right, of what the Rebbe is learning. That's called the malchus of the Rebbe. Because malchus is the place which is considered to be outside, where you can actually share that. That's why the malchus, which is called chutz, it's like, as we spoke about before, it's outside of the higher spheres, and therefore it has the ability, since it's considered to be bachutz, to go into the world below. And of course, what allows it to do that also is the humility of the malchus, the less lemi gar meklum. The malchus isn't so stubborn as to say, listen, I don't go down into that world. The oilam abriya, pasnish for me to go down into the oilam abriya. I'm from the oilam of atzilus. If the malchus would think like that, she would never go down to the Eilam Abriya. So therefore, what we learned before about the malchus, that the malchus has a certain tendency, a tchuna of less than megam meklum, that allows it to go down to the Eilam Abriya. Why does she do that? Because she wants to go down to the Abriya and say to the Eilam Abriya, listen, I want you to be machashik yourself and come up to the Eilam of Atzilus. But by giving a taste of her malchus, the Hainu, by showing herself and letting the Briya know, this is what it's like to be in the Eilam Atzilus. It's a good place to be. Don't get stuck in the Eilam Abriya. So it allows, therefore, the higher parts of Bria and everything in Bria to want to go up to the Olam of Atzilus. But it's because the Malchus makes the first step to go down, then afterwards the Malchus will retract and come back up. But when she does that, people will follow her. So it's so important to go to a Tzaddik, because the Tzaddik is like, when the Tzaddik goes into the Chevre, makes his way into the Olam. So the Iker Hespailus that the Olam chaps by seeing the Tzaddik and by saying, oh, what a royal life it is to be a tzaddik. It's so good to be a tzaddik. And so the Al Talmidim, they're grateful that the Rebbe, he exposed himself, he revealed himself, he showed a little bit of his avoid on Shabbos Kodesh by the Tish, by the Tfilas, that he interacts with the Olam, and they see what it's like to be a tzaddik, and then everybody will want to follow him to be a tzaddik too. Because the tzaddik has a way of showing himself, and when he goes back up to his Olam, he's already pulling everybody up with him and saying, oh, we want to be like that. And that happens in all different types of relationships in the world, is that there's a dugma which is shown to the lower, and then it's ma'ayra the lower to want to go up to the higher. So every day in davening, what happens is that the malchus datzilus goes down into bria. Spoke about it's called a miyut halavana, and then one of the first things which happens is that we have to be malo the malchus back up to where she belongs. But when that happens, the lower ones follow and they come up into the higher olamas. So this idea which we're going to be speaking about aliyas ha'olamas on Shabbos Kodesh, there's a very unique Aliyah Sa'ilimus which takes place on Shabbos. But Al Pi Rashash, Al Pi Pnimius, this is taking place every single davening. Every single davening, what happens is that there's not a day which goes by that there's not some semblance of Aliyah Sa'ilimus that today is better than yesterday was. It's a chok. That although in Chitzonius HaTorah there's an idea, She'ein Yom She'ein Mokila La Yoyse Mechaveira, that there's not a day which goes by that there's no more klala than the day before. Because we're moving farther and farther away from Har Sinai, which is the Shoresh HaBracha. In Pnimius, it's not true. In Pnimius, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making the Welt better and better every single day. And that's manifested by this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that the Olam should return to where they were before the Chet of Adam HaRishon. And in a very quiet way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being piled at, and that takes place during davening primarily, in that the today is a better place than yesterday was. In terms of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shooting for, the Hainu, that the Tachta should be revealed, that the world should return to its real place, that the Olamas should return to where they are truly stationed, with a little bit more too, the cherry on top, which is like going to be the end result of all of this amazing craziness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pointing us through. But on Shabbos Kodesh, there's a special Aliyas HaOlamos, is that the worlds actually return in their primus to the way that they were Kodem HaChet. That means that major things are going on. So we're going to be speaking about Shabbos here, but it's really true about every single day. It's just that it's most profound on Shabbos Kodesh.
Is there an ultimate goal of bringing the Ketzer back down? Meaning once the Machus goes up, it spoke about this Barak Kring Tzior, where the Tzios go up and then Hashem comes back down, or is that separate?
I don't understand it. Can you say that one more time?
Last Barak book talked about a concept of bringing Tzios up, bringing a Tzior.
Yeah.
Right? So we want to raise it up and then Hashem sends it back down. Is this the same concept? Is there an ultimate goal of bringing the answer back down, or is it really just the battle?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a similar concept what we spoke about before. Shira Sakelim, right? We spoke about Shira Sakelim as not an accident, right? It wasn't a godly accident. It was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Kavana broke the Kelim because he wanted that there should be a Shvira in order to be Malavim. So it's considered to be an Aveda Midas, that they were broken intentionally so that the lower should go down with the intention of therefore bringing it back up. Same thing is happening here too, in that we're not talking about the Nitzaitzin and the breaking of Kalim. We're speaking about a similar concept in that the Malchus is intentionally going down to the world below it, but the way that it works in order to come back up, but the reason why that's taking place is for that purpose. Okay, let's try to put this into a little bit more perspective. I appreciate the har. What we spoke about before in terms of Shuris HaKalim, the breaking in the kelim and the falling of the kelim and the nitzaitzim which were in those kelim, right? What we need to do is that we need to bring that back up. Who goes down and how does that process take place? This all begins with the malchus of the atzilus, or the malchus in every single oilam, going down into the oilam below it. That's considered to be the move, where that since the higher is going lower, that means that the higher is going back, is going down to retrieve that which it lost. So in terms of this process of being malo the nitzaitzin, because something which was higher fell down, so the reason why the malchus is going down into the lower oilam is in order to bring herself down, she's going down to retrieve that which belongs to her. Enough that helped you or confused you?
No.
I'm sorry. But the way I understood the question was, is that is what we spoke about before, the Shiras HaKelim, and the going down and the breaking and the falling of Kalim and Shefa into the lower Olam is connected to this Malchus going down into the lower Olam. The answer is yes, it's the same idea, and in fact even directly related, because the reason why the Malchus of every Olam today and every single day is going down into lower Olam is in order to retrieve the broken Kalim and those Nitzoytzim, which is of course what we're all about, is that we do mitzvahs and everything which we do is in order to bring everything back up to the way it was before. So it's real makom. Shu b'Shabbos Kodesh shu hu eis ratzon zman shel aliyas ha'olamos az mis'ala kol shlush b'mayla echad yaseir mimosachal. So what takes place on Shabbos is that there's an aliyas ha'olamos in a way that everything goes up a third. How so? The hainu shechabad de bria, that the chabad of bria is oile ad chagat atzilus. This is a mistake. Really, it should say nai atzilus. And chabad yitzira goes to the nai debria vechen kulam. Avo yoyse ena mechon analis does lo yasfir echa gedol mechavet ave elyon vatachton yihyu shavin. So, this paragraph needs a lot of hesver, because I think there's even mistakes in it, and this is a simplified way of explaining what Shabbos Kodesh is. Because in truth, we don't have time to really talk about the Aliyas HaOlamos, which takes place on Shabbos during the Imos HaChol. What we'll just say is that on Shabbos Kodesh, there's two things which take place. Shabbos Kodesh itself creates a Ha'olas HaOlamos, which is different and better than every single day. Is that is where on during every single day that we spoke about before, there's what's called an Aliyas HaOlamos on one level. On Shabbos Kodesh, there's two levels. And that's just from Shabbos Kodesh being amazing. That since Shabbos is so great, Shabbos has a way of making a Tosefes Aliyos HaOlamos, without getting into detail what that is. Beyond that, we do many things on Shabbos Kodesh. We do a lot of davening on Shabbos, and we do a lot of tishin on Shabbos too. And what that creates and what it allows for is that beyond the regular Aliyos HaOlamos that Shabbos allows for, because the Shabbos is just amazing greatness, as just because it's Shabbos, everything which we do on Shabbos Kodesh allows for even more and even more and even more Aliyos HaOlamos on Shabbos, which takes place to a point where that the Olamos actually revert back to the way before the Shira and the falling of all the Olamos.
Beginning of Shabbos or throughout Shabbos?
Throughout Shabbos. We don't reach that point until Shal Shittis time. Shal Shittis time, again, Shabbos is just one long ascent. And we realize that on Shal Shittis time, as he explains, as we're going to see, as we go along here. If you take a look at Sifkat and Dalit, he explains that Gdulas Man Suda Shlishis. There's only one time during the week, which is at the Shal Shuddis of Shabbos Kodesh, that the greatest Ha'olas Ha'olamas that we have throughout the whole week, and possibly throughout the whole year almost, other than on Shavuos, there's something special about that. The whole Chelki Hatiferes Adam Teich Abba ve'ima ilayin, gimel tachtainim shabbat ve'gimel tachtainim shabbahem. There's a whole seder of Aliyos HaOlamos which is taking place on Shabbos Kodesh, where everything below goes up above. And what that means for us, for example, we spoke about this nachas that the father has and in seeing his child on his darga. So when the child becomes exactly like the father, that takes place on Shabbos Kodesh. That the father, which is Abba ve'ima, and the Zer Anpin, which is his son, they are mamish at the same place, and in fact, they even go up to the Olamos, which is called Arachampin, which is like the grandfather, the Zaydi, to a certain point, which is called the Chagad of the Arachampin. The amazing things are taking place in Shabbos Kodesh. And that's because Shal Shuddis is an Eis Ratzon, and as he explains now in this next paragraph, V'chol Eis Ratzon kasher niftachin shayar shamayim la'shpia oris me'ilu l'sata, that whenever there's an Eis Ratzon, what that means, that there's an opening in the higher Olamos, that a shefa can come down from very great places. So like a tiny spark of shefa will come down from the highest places, from Hashem's light, which is the Orein Sof. And we spoke about before that Atik is the highest of all the spheres, and the Reisha the Atik means the highest part of the highest sphere. We're going to speak about the five Chalki HaNefesh and Mitz Hashem, and so Yechida is associated with this keser, which is Atik. So, an Eis Ratzon means that there's a Hisairus Milamala. Usually, the Kaddish Baruch Hu expects us to make the first move. And when we make an Hisairus to the Latata, it awakens everything Milayla. What's meant in Eis Ratzon? An Eis Ratzon means that Hashem Yisbach says, I'm making the first move. And Hashem makes the first move, and that's called an Eis Ratzon. So that means he's sending down something which is going to make a big Hisairus. Something very great is going to happen in the time of an Eis Ratzon. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals a certain spark, a certain Yisrusa de La'ila, which is higher than what we're used to. And when something which is higher than what we're used to becomes revealed, so it creates a tremendous Osiris. Let's say, for example, a person is in the company of a tzaddik, of a very great person throughout the year. Right? And that gives them a Hisiris, a steady Hisiris. What happens, though, is that every once in a while, an Adam Gadol will come. Right? And when that Adam Gadol comes, it creates a very big Hisiris. Because you're not used to that tzaddik. In the presence of that tzaddik. So when that tzaddik comes, it creates a big hisayrus in the yeshiva, in the shul, in the camp, whatever it is. They're like, oh wow, this person is here. It creates a big hisayrus. We never see a person like this before. We've never heard a shir like this. It creates an Eisratzon. So that's what it means in Eisratzon. An Eisratzon is something we're familiar with, the idea. It's just that's just a mashal to what's taking place in the higher elements. Avachol yirida me'olam la'olam shetachteh ani toisef la'od levush. And when it goes down from one world to the next world, it creates levushim in order that it should be able to be mitzamshim itself to enter into that world. And so, for example, let's say there's a nitzos which comes from the highest places and it goes into Eil Matzilos, and then it has to go into Bria, go into Yitzia. So when it does that, so in every world which that nitzos goes into, So it needs to wear the clothes. It needs to dress the dress of that oilam. That's right. That's right. There's a very big difference. A levush and a keli. That's right. There's a difference between a levush and a keli. Something different between a levush and a keli. A keli means that it's a receptacle to receive that or. A levush is not a receptacle to receive. Adarab, right? A levush is bottled to the or. A levush means that the or is able to move from place to place without being contained. So in this context, what we're saying is that when this or dresses up and has levushin, so it is. It's still an or, and it doesn't become downgraded by entering into a keli. For example, that mikveh water goes into, right? If it goes into a keli, it becomes mayim shuvim, it becomes pasul, right? But we need that the mikveh water, when it comes into our mikveh, then has to be directly from Shemayim, right? Because if it goes into a keli before it goes into the mikveh, so then when it goes into the mikveh now, that's not Shemayim water anymore. That's keli water. Because as soon as a higher shefa goes into a keli, so now the shefa takes on the form of the keli. So therefore, the mikvah water has to be directly from Shemayim because we want that there should be Shemayim al Aretz, that there should be it should be water from above on this world, not water in this world. So as soon as it goes into a keli, so and then if it would go into a second keli, which is the mikvah, it wouldn't be a kli rishon anymore; it would be a kli sheni. We need that the mikvah water needs to be a kli rishon, not a kli sheni. And that's something which is very true in that. It's always Eino Doma Ri'i L'Shmia. What does it mean Ri'i L'Shmia? The difference between Ri'i and Shmia is that there's something much greater and different about hearing it from the source than hearing it from the source. Not just because that in the process of giving it over, it may become distorted, but just that when you hear it directly from the source, you hear it from the madriga from where the source is on. So if a big tzaddik comes to Eish Kodesh and he's giving us a shir, so you can't say to somebody, listen, why did you have to schlep him all the way here? Just go there, listen to everything which he's going to say, and just you'll say it exactly over the way he said it. No, of course not. You can't. Everybody in the right mind knows that that's not going to work because the way that he says it over, he's giving it over from him. He's giving over his madriga when he gives it over. So therefore, that's why a video is never going to do justice. That a recording is never going to do justice. That there's nothing better than a live share from the person because when the person gives it over, he's giving it over himself. Part of himself is giving it over right now. That's the difference between levushim. Now, the reason why levushim is so important is because you have to wear the levushim to get in. Right? Like Yosef, to get into Mitzrayim, he had to be like a mitzvi, to dress like a mitzvi. So we're very lucky. Let's say Rav Matl's liver comes to speak in Eish Kodesh, right? So we accept Rav Matl's levushim to come into Eish Kodesh because we appreciate those levushim. But if you were to go to a different shul, they may say to him, listen, you know, we look like this and you look like that. You have a long beard and we don't have any beards. So I don't think the oilam is going to connect with you. It's just not going to connect. So Rav Zilber can mamish make a creative menace of Cyrus in that place. Why didn't they allow themselves to have this as Cyrus? Not because they're against Cyrus, because he didn't dress the dress which they were looking for. So he couldn't go into that oilam. They wouldn't allow him into the oilam because they're not familiar with that levush. So therefore, when a great or wants to come into a lower oilam, so one of the things that's a criteria and a prerequisite is that the lower oilam says, listen, we like you, you can create a big Osiris, but we need that you should be able to look like us because we can't connect to you if you don't have the levushim. So levushim doesn't serve an actual purpose. The fact that we dress differently doesn't serve an actual purpose other than the fact that our levushim, in a chitzonistic way, brings us together and it creates a certain zera shava between us that now allows the pnimius of that mashpia to give over and to connect with the makab. Yeah? So that's the difference between a keli and a levush. The kids.
V'chol yirida me'olam la'olam shetachten yitoysef la'od levush yiseyre b'chdei shiis tzamtzeim ayire v'tucha l'kanes olam shalat. It allows passageway. It's the visa which allows the higher or to go into the lower olamas. It's kedai to read the brackets here. Ki kol olam shalamata hi kamo kli ha'makabal min ha'olam shalamala himenu. Right. Every oilam lamata could be a keli, is really like a keli to the higher worlds. That although we speak about oiris and kalin, and it would seem that every oilam is just a keli, but in truth, everything is relative. That although, let's say, the kalim of Atsilas are kalim,
and the Kalim of Bria are also Kalim. The relationship between Atzilus and Bria is one of Or to Kalim. Not everything is so defined. In the world of Pnimius, everything is relative. So for example, let's say you have Moshe and Yeshua. So Yeshua is a Talmud to Moshe, right? In which case he's a Keli to receive from Moshe. But Yeshua is a Rebbe to the rest of Klai Yisrael. To Elder the Medad, let's say, right? So is Yeshua a Talmud or is he a Rebbe? Oh, well, it depends who you're talking about. He's a Talmud to Moshe, but he's a Rebbe to Elder the Medad. So therefore, it really depends on your perspective. Everything is relative. And the same thing is true in all the Olam. I say, what is a Keli in a higher world may actually serve as an Or and a Mashpia to a lower world. So in a certain relative way, Or and Keli is not defined by what they are, it's defined by their role. And that's very important when it comes to Pnimius, because we're not used to that in the Gashmius world. We're used to things being things as they are. We can't turn a hammer into a pencil. But in the Pnimius, it doesn't work that way. Because Pnimius has a way of being undefined. There's something more Ein Sof, and there's more wiggle room when it comes to Pnimius. And so therefore, nothing takes on an actual form. It really depends. Your form is dependent on what your purpose is right now. That's the form which you take. You be the role which you are serving. So that being the case, lachem kol oilam shigavoyer sedai lo bilavushim watim. The general rule is that the higher oilamists need less levushim. So that's the general rule, is that the lower the oilamis go, the more levushim that there are. That's why the malchus, the melech, has the most levushim out of anybody, right? It's a funny thing. Like, the melech has so many levushim. Why does the melech have so many levushim? The reason why the melech has so many levushim is because the malchus is the lowest sphira. Since the malchus is the lowest sphira, the melech wears the most levushim. Why does he wear so many levushim? It's because he has to go and has to have to be able to make hashpa on everybody. So he wears so many levushim because although the melech really comes from a very high place, but because of the need that he should be respected as the melech, he has to wear so many levushim. Okay, we'll leave it at that. We'll continue with the Shem next week.